The following is Jennifer Atkinson of the Quebec Labrador Foundation at the Maine Coastal Waters Conference, October 28, 2009, Northport, Maine.
So before I start, I want to just kind of pass around my props. Amanda's going to help me a little bit with this. The tool that I'm going to talk about is the Musungas Bay Atlas and the Musungas Bay Atlas exhibit, and I wanted to make sure you guys had some atlases to look at. So we're going to pass this around, so there's one at every table. If you want to purchase one, just let me know. If you don't, be sure to give them back. and on some of them, not all, but some of them, we have also a picture of sort of the Atlas exhibit in process and of a sketch map that we used when we were creating.
Oh, there it is. Okay, this is...
So yeah, I just kind of, we just paperclipped
that. Just left a few things on top.
Okay. And then also over here, what people were talking in front of is a portion of the Musungas Bay Atlas exhibit, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. It's actually front and back, so it's a much clever way to show you both sides. So that is just something to refer to and talk to, and you can come up later and take a look as well. And then I guess a little bit later I'll pass this out. And, so I guess I'd start by saying that the atlas and the exhibit, when you look at sort of the name of this panel, I think I'd emphasize the tool for understanding first and foremost is what it's about. It's the atlas is published by QLF's marine program in Walterboro, in case you're looking for us. And it's part of the work of our Musungas Bay project, so we really focus a lot in on Musungas Bay. Now, the purpose of this tool, at least the first that occurred in my mind when I was putting this together, I think part of it was to really address that lack, I think, of public understanding of the multiplicity of uses and features in sort of a bay region. I think a lot of people don't really understand a lot about what goes on in the sea, and that, you know, you're not seeing it, you're not there. So it was really about trying to share that complexity and give people a sense of that complexity. It was also about stimulating consideration of a bay region, of a system, of a marine area. We don't really define regions in Maine by the sea anymore. I think we used to, but so that's a twist for a lot of people. Another part of it, we really intentionally designed the maps to stimulate thinking about the land-sea connection. And then, you know, Shay, it's funny because when I was starting this, I always tell people what GIS was first, and I don't as much now, but there was also a piece of it that was just trying to get out GIS a little bit more, get out data layers. It took a long time to find the data layers that we worked with, and we're hoping it's a little bit easier the next time around for people. So that was sort of largely the purpose of the tool. The Atlas was released just a year ago, about a little bit more than a year ago, but it actually started, I don't know if I should tell you this because it's a little scary, it started back in 2005. And it originated with people remember the bay management study that the state did. Musungas Bay was a pilot project. And one piece of our pilot project was GIS. And we thought, well, hey, let's just go gather some layers and we'll create some maps and we'll show people maps. And this will be an interesting way to get people to think about the region. And I was so blown away by people's reaction to the maps. It was like my map conversion, you know. Oh, I was like, wow, maps, which I just hadn't, you know, I just didn't get it before. And then I was like, wow, these are so powerful. I'm sure you guys find that too. But the ones we first put out, they were so simplistic, and they were so well received. I had this great picture of Steve Perrin, like. And at that forum we had, you know, looking at the map intensely. But when we did different things, those drew attention in ways other things didn't. And I just got so kind of into this idea and into the power of this tool. And so that really kind of got us thinking. And it attached this idea of what if we could really improve these and create an atlas for the region. So we got our first grant from the Gulf of Maine Council in the spring of 2006. And so the whole thing took about 2 years. I'd say 1 year was roughly working on the data, getting it better and better and better, figuring out ways to combine it, illustrate it. And then the second year, I think, was editing. I mean, it was a big editing job, and a lot of illustration. Illustration work that went into it. So it took some time. But again, that year of data collection had a lot to do with how, you know, stuff isn't that readily available. It takes a little bit to find. There was also a piece to it that is kind of points to the Atlas itself being a tool, both in its process, it was a tool for us, and also in the product. And I'm going to try to be as clear about that as I can, although I'm not convinced I've hit that nail on the head yet, so I hope I don't get too fuzzy here. We could have taken the data layers that we developed for that data management thing and fixed them up a little bit and created an atlas and, you know, put it on the shelves, and I think it would have been still received pretty well. But that would have been all about us. We really wanted the Atlas to be about the region and about the community and about the people who use it and about the people who know about it. So it felt very much like a shared community project as much as we possibly could. So we really engaged a lot of people in the development of this. We went back to the drawing board and took, I think, most of our data layers that we had gotten from NGOs and from the state and from the university and kind of ground-truthed them locally. And, you know, there were a lot of, yeah, that's wrong, you know, kind of that kind of stuff. And so we had, we deleted some, you know, we got rid of some data sets because they just didn't pass the straight face test locally. We added and modified some, corrected others. But still we weren't satisfied, and we created entirely new layers, much of what Jay does herself, some of which are a full map, like the saltwater recreational fishing map, and some which became pieces of a map. But that was a really, it was a long process, but it was a really good back and forth process. And that, again, that's sort of part of the tool of making it, of involving everybody in it. I guess a footnote to that, and I didn't realize how lucky I was to be working with QLF Center for Community GIS in Farmington, because they have a lot of participatory GIS experience, and so they kind of helped lead me to do it well and a little bit rigorously. We wanted to produce something that was a really reliable and accurate information source, something that people, that everybody could use and everybody was comfortable with everybody else using. So being participatory really meant being aware and respectful of accuracy issues as well and objectivity issues as well. Sometimes you can be participatory, but you can kind of slant your data a little bit, and we were very careful not to do that and to kind of think about that as we went forward. There was another piece, too, of this whole data collection process that was pretty neat. The project was kind of young in 2005, and it had a sort of institutional tool, and then it got us out there. And it's so much easier to knock on someone's door and say, hey, want to work on a map, than, you know, hey, want to go to a council meeting? You know, it's a way better way to connect with people, and they enjoy it, and they're drawing, and they're telling you what they know, and you're listening. And so in some ways, it gave us a reason to go out and talk with people and engage people, and it would end up in a real project, a product that they were contributing to, so it had a lot of value and a lot of interest. So I think that was pretty neat. We were striving to make something that was accurate, that was attractive, something that the people who participated in would be as proud of as we were, although I'm not sure that's possible. But that people would want to sell it. They'd want it on their bookstores. It looked like something that belonged in a bookstore. So we were really thinking about that. Another piece of the data, just to note, we've had other groups interested in doing this in their bay, which is really exciting. I think it would be really great. But everyone, they're not cookie cutters. what data layers are available from Ascungas Bay aren't necessarily available for Machias Bay. And what you want to show in Machias Bay is not necessarily what you want to show in Ascungas Bay. So there was some design element there, but so that's one part of like the data layers. Another part is that what we've been asked sometimes when we go out is, why did you create these maps? And it's like, well, because that's what came up when we were done. We went out with a vision of what we could create, and often we couldn't find anything on a particular subject, and we couldn't, there was no way we could produce it ourselves. Or we'd find data that was surprising. The Maine Geological Survey has some really interesting data, and that I just hadn't known about, and that worked into it well. So we were pretty flexible in creating this, and I think that's important, especially, I guess I would say, in the marine field, where this is really growing in its use and its planning and that kind of thing. So I'd say, you know, that flexibility is important in creating this kind of tool. Another really important thing that I hadn't thought about as much with this and with the exhibit is how, like the exhibit, we've gone through all this trouble to create these exhibit guides, which very carefully tell people what these are and what the legends are. They never look at it. They never look at it. But that's how powerful the image is. And so if your image doesn't say what you want it to say without text, you're in trouble. Mm. And so we had to work a lot on the illustration and making sure what we picked, polygons, stripes, you know, whatever it was, how we framed it, the fuzzy lines versus the not fuzzy lines, developed a picture. And we were, again, really fortunate in that our GIS guy is also a cartographer, so he loves to think about design and map design and how you communicate it. But that's why maps are so great, is that you can go off and kind of get it without having to just read it all the time. And I think that's why people like it. But it's something to pay really close attention to, is how important the image is. And I think we kind of know that, but I got a real immersion in that. Mm. So it's in print. It's online. Online it's free. You can download any aspect if you want. You can create your own GIS, your own atlas if you want. You can use whatever part of it you want. And that's because we really want it to be available to everybody. And I think it's relatively cheap, you know, and that was another, we're just trying to cover our costs because we want people to have it. We want people to use it. And I think it's been pretty popular. We sold out of our first run. We just printed another run. And we're selling it now through local bookstores. So that product piece now is kind of kicking in, and the benefits of having actually the product, which the process led to. So, you know, they're kind of intertwined here. Another thing we did, I'm just going to pass these around, a little freebie for coming to the session. Maybe Amanda can help me split them up. I don't have enough for everybody, but we created these posters out of one of these images. We sell these two for a really nominal price, but we've tried to get these up and around, and so they're now in post office and stuff like that. And it's a great thing where people just kind of, ooh, Ascungas Bay region. Oh, yeah. Oh, cool.
I'll take one.
We're just trying to get that, and sometimes that has a lot of value as well. And that was an easy spin-off. So as a tool, it's had some great, easy additionals. The other one is this Atlas exhibit. And that we started in the fall of 2008. And it came from giving talks about the Atlas and having them far more well-attended than I would have ever expected. I tend to expect like 6 or 12 people at community meetings. I mean, I'm like, you know, pumped if I get that many. And we would have 40. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, you know, that's kind of interesting. So I started to think about how the Atlas is sort of an individual activity. You know, it's you and the Atlas. How some sort of exhibit would be a social activity. So it's a different kind. It's the same information, the same material, but not much more. You can sort of have people absorbing the information in a social context. And so that's what that has been about. What I want to say about it. We what we did is we decided to plan this traveling exhibit. This is going to every town in the bay, right on the right the borders of the bay. So there's 9 towns and 1 community, Monhegan. It's been to 7 of them. We have 3 more that are being planned. The last three communities, actually Vivian's helping us with one right now in South Thomaston. And again, just like with the Atlas, there's a process piece here that is much a part of the Atlas, the exhibit tool, as the actual exhibit itself. And it's sort of similar to this. It's very community-oriented. We could sort of take our Atlas exhibit, find maybe a gallery or something that was sort of private, organize for it to happen, flyer the town and hope people come. But we thought it would be much more interesting to use it as a way to bring the community together around planning this. And so what happens is we facilitate these ad hoc planning groups to come together within a town, usually starting with 1 or 2 groups. And we try to get together representatives of different kinds of civic organizations. So the nature-based groups, but also any kind of town committee, planning committee, harbor master, whoever's interested in town, selectmen. We get libraries, museums and historical societies, schools, fishermen's associations, artists, post office, obviously I've been involved in some towns. It kind of depends. And they'll come together and help us plan it. So they'll pick the location, the time, the place, where the opening is going to happen, who's going to bring the food, which is the key, and how to get the word out in town. And so they take all those parts on. And I think as a result, our openings have been relatively well attended. I think we have like on average 50 people in an evening come, and this has been during blizzards and everything. And I think because it's made into a community social event and it's a coming together of groups and it's around this thing. So I give a presentation, but then also we make an opening for whoever's been part of our group that they plan if there's a presentation. So in one town, there was a launching of a community visioning process. In another town, there was a photography exhibit. There's been unveilings of paintings. There's been slideshows. Every town's been different in terms of what they've wanted. So we've used this as sort of a focal point for that, for people to get together. And again, it's been another great way, and not too complicated. Once we figured out how you make an exhibit, which was like kind of new for me, once we figured that out, it's been a great way to, in a different kind of way, to engage people from the region in thinking about the Bay and what they share. It's been a great way to bring the community together. And for us, it's been a really interesting way to interact with the community and meet civic leaders that are outside of sort of the usual scope of the kind of work that we do. They're not involved in our circulation studies or whatnot. So it gets us much more broadly into the community. And that's been, it's been really beneficial. So those are those two tools, and my time is up.
Thank you. What's the website where you download the map? QLF?
Yeah, you can go to QLF, or you can go to www.community-gis.org, and that can bring you directly through it. But the easiest way is just Google Muskungus Bay, and it comes right up, and you can get the atlas that way.
Okay.